Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, sir. In the Father, there's a place. Oh, I'm a for me, not against me, never against me, Lord. I am chosen, I am chosen, I am. You are for me, not against me, I am. The Son sets free, oh, He's free. Yeah. I'm a child of in the Father's house, in the Father, there's a place. I am a child of God. Yes, for the last time. Who the Son sets free, who the Son, yes, is free. I'm a child, I'm a hallelujah. Amen. Alright, so let's get into the word. Are you here? Hallelujah. Alright, so I want to talk about something very simple, yet very powerful. Amen. You know, as Christians, we have a lot of factors that affect growth. Do you know that? Yes, sir. So I think we should just be teaching there now. You will see what I'm talking about. Paul spoke to us in First Corinthians 13, around verse 8. Through verse 10, amen.
Amen.
Are you excited?
Yes, sir.
Super excited.
I look good. Thank you. Thank you. Give God all praise. All right. All right. I was asking. Just a piece of advice as we continue teaching. Before we continue teaching, I was trying to finish arranging myself in the office, I asked my protocols a question. I'm sure they were very surprised. I said, I'm so very lenient when I give instructions? I said, some people don't listen. So I said, is it that when I give instruction, people think that maybe I'm more. If you believe I'm tough, say amen. I think people are pretending. Somebody say amen around here. Who is that? Pastor Phil? Okay, you think I'm tough. Hallelujah. It's good. If I was not tough for you, you would not be here. If you think I'm very soft, say amen. So now Pastor Peter is the one that said amen. He's suspicious. Okay, which answers? In the middle. Okay, I'm in the middle. Tough. But some of you have never encountered me. How do you think I'm tough? You heard from people. Huh? Some of you heard from people. Ah, prophet can be tough sometimes. Well, I don't think I'm tough. I'm only tough when it comes to removing a demon from somebody. And if you're not tough, demons don't come out. You don't look tough. I would say, get out from that body now in the name of Jesus. How many of you have seen any pastor delivering people with a smile? Get out. Get out now, Satan. The demon will be playing. But when you front your face and say, you devil, get out, they will run away. So sometimes when we see people who are demon possessed, but are not sure, are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are not aware. We are tough to them, and all of a sudden the demon leaves. And that's why it's part of the ministry of a pastor. 2 Timothy 3:16. That first and foremost, he gives the word of God. He creates doctrine, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's see very briefly. 2 Timothy 3:16. He creates doctrine. And the next thing, he reproves with the doctrine that has been created by the help of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes, sir.
So people sometimes may want to misbehave. He gets to reprove them. You know what reproves mean? Huh? Who can define reproof? Anybody? To reprove. You can't lie that you don't know English. Who knows the word reproof? Be confident. You have not received the spirit to fear again. This sister is the first time I'm seeing her. You want to define reproof for us? Okay, no. Alright. In her heart, she's like, dear Jesus, what is happening? So who wants to define reproof for us? MD, you want to? You're smiling. Baba Elam. New pastor. Do you want to define reproof for us? Anybody? Where are the law students? You should be familiar with words like this. I want somebody to define reproof. I don't want to define it. What happened to your face? Busy. Accident? Like on a bike or in the house? Huh? No, you buy your car soon. This embarrassment. Satan wants to give you a birthmark because of bike. You can sit down. So who is doing that divination for us? Very fast. All these English people in church are not talking. Pastor K, define reproof. I'm familiar with her character. It's the correct English. She doesn't define anything in this church. Go ahead. Okay, Victory wants to talk. Okay, no, talk first. Oh, you don't have a definition. Huh? You've checked dictionary. Talk. Talk. Pastor Joe, you bought a car? I'm seeing a key. It's not your own. You said you're not sharp. Claim you'd have said it's your own now. What is there? I saw somebody bringing a car, a dark black car. They say it's your own. They did not even say it's your father's own. They say it's your own. Is it your own? It's not your own. You don't want the person to look at this service and be angry. All right. What's the word reproof? Where's the mic? a very fast.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Max, why is seated at the back? If you are anointed a pastor and you are seated at the back, come and sit at the front. See, it's more like being familiar with a religion. And believe me, that's where she, her spirit and soul and body wants to sit. That's the best place of her life in this church. Pastor Max, come to the front. You know, when we were talking on Sunday in the office, they said I should call her Pastor Ami. I said, that's stressful. Pastor Ami. Is it not stressful? Huh? It's not stressful. Pastor Ami, Ami. My mouth is moving two times. But when I say Pastor Max, that's finished. You know how God called Max? Amaka. Max. You understand? So, we'll just summarize everything. Alright.
So to reprove simply means to point out a wrong or a fault.
To point out a wrong. Okay. Is that what you want to say too? Alright. It's been a while I heard this lady's English. Go and give her. I know her for English. I think English will give you a husband. The way you speak English. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Prophet, sir.
Alright.
So, to reprove simply means to sanction.
Why are you trying to talk the way I know you to be talking?
Yes, Prophet, sir. To reprove simply means to sanction, to bring to order.
To sanction and to bring to order. Interesting. Alright. Define what reprove is. I've already opened your voice for you. That's how you talk. To reprove means
thank
to...
you, sir. To reprove means to rebuke and to...
Even if he tries, he can't rearrange the voice. That's how the voice is. To rebuke and to...
To improve on a character.
Okay. Yes, trying to thank sound you, tush. That's interesting. Hallelujah. Hooray! Pastor Anne said to what? To point out a wrong and what? Or a fault. She said to sanction. To bring to order, or choose to bring to order rather. He said to rebuke. Hallelujah. I think it can be a substitute. Now, it says doctrine yet, then it says reprove. That means to correct a fault, to bring to order, to rebuke, isn't it? And to correct, right? And to instruct in righteousness. Listen carefully. You know, some of you don't want pastors. The devil steers your spirit in a very wrong direction. And the manifestation only proves that you don't want pastors. You only want people you can control. Hallelujah to Jesus. People you can what? Control. Not pastors. Because if this is the ministry of a pastor, and people allow this ministry to truly find expression in their lives, a lot of people will make progress very fast in life. Well, many people don't listen. They only like the good part, the good part of doctrine. When they listen to the doctrine, if you want to use a doctrine to reprove them, some don't listen. And when I say listen, I don't mean yes sir, yes ma. But to go back home and to practice what you've been said, I'm told. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Many people don't. And when we correct them with the same word of God, they don't listen. Then the deepest part of this pastor-member relationship is instructions. Now, God is saying that we have the authority as pastors not to only give you doctrine, but to reprove you, to correct your faults. When we see a fault, we tell you that's wrong. Then when we tell you that's wrong, we correct you not to do that again, isn't it? And if we correct you, we probably can get to the point where we're instructing you to get out from that part and get into another part. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's the ministry of a pastor. And whatever we're saying is going to result to Ephesians 4 and verse 12. I want it in the Amplifier edition. If a pastor's ministry is fulfilled in the life of any individual or people, this is what will happen. It said, and he did this to fully what? equip and what? Perfect the saints. What are the saints? God's people. So when we give doctrine, when we reprove, when we correct, when we instruct, what happens? You are getting that. These are like the processes that it would take to get you equipped and what? Perfected as God's people. Are we together? Not just doctrines. In other words, as pastors, we have the permission to delve into places in your life. Are you listening to me? Now, often unplanned. I mean, we did not arrange for it. A pastor can look at you and by the help of the Holy Ghost, you know, sometimes people have crazy visions. People have come to my office. They want to get into relationships. And sometimes I hear how they hear God. I tell me how you heard God. Maybe a young man or a young woman sometimes when they get affirmations. And sometimes I'm not pleased with that because it does not align with Scripture. So I said, you can go back. And because probably sometimes I've noticed them, I've seen them in church. I know the kind of persons that they are. I have a track record of them. I can tell you are not hearing God. You go. Are you listening to me? You can go back. You are not hearing God. You can't hear God for three women in 1 year. Which God are you hearing? It's a demon you are hearing. It's not God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In 1 year. God is not an author of what? Confusion. He wouldn't do that. Yet, as very obvious, this is obvious wrong. As very obvious as this wrong looks and is, when you correct certain people, Satan may still make them to be angry, cause them to be angry, and be offended with the pastor, that the pastor doesn't want them to have a relationship with the love of their lives. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But you see, it's not about them alone. The other party, the lady, is involved. As pastors, we must protect everybody, all the sheep God has given to us. If we allow that individual now to get into that relationship, he may hurt that lady at some point. And God will hold us responsible as pastors. You know, I was telling leaders there was a time I knew I made a mistake as a pastor. There were these two folks. The HOD sent them to me because we believe that if you were not born again before you got into a relationship, you don't need to pray about it. It is a wrong relationship. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You don't need to what? It is a what? So you can't be in darkness and have clarity about who to marry. It's not something to pray about. And they sent them because they were in the relationship before they became born again. And while I was talking to them, I saw how they loved each other. It was too strong, the love. I couldn't imagine myself being the source of the breakup. While I was talking, the way they were looking at themselves, not like they were being romantic. They almost looked like they were going to cry. When I say this one, talk your own side of the story. How did he start? He would talk like he wants to cry. I would say, Yufa. She's talking the story and she's almost crying. I mean, they are really in love. At the end of the thing, I said to the HOD, leave them. Let's see how this thing will go. Since they are all born again. The HOD was very shocked. I made such a decision. I was just being emotional. I didn't know how to break that relationship. Because I know that they will cry. They will cry. I've been breaking relationship. But that one was so strong that I did not find grace to break it. At the end, they broke out from church. You see that? They broke out. Because we tried to repair the relationship at a point. It became too bad. We tried to repair it. The two of them decided they would just leave. They didn't want repair. I can't go ahead to say the deep side of their relationship. Some of you may figure out. Amen. But we tried to repair it. Hallelujah to Jesus. And we couldn't. And they decided, you know, at that point she was so glued to the young man. You know that point when a lady is very glued to a young man, no matter what the young man does, it's okay. And she wouldn't let go. And both of them are no more. Now, while I was meditating, the Lord said to me, "Say, you cursed this one. If you broke it many years ago, if you broke it many years ago without being emotional, you would have preserved their souls. What can a man offer in exchange of it? So is it love? So I regretted. I told the Lord sorry. And I made up my mind I would never be emotional again. Whether they are crying in love, I'll break it. If I have the power to, except the people don't give me the power to do it, are we together? Yes, else I'll break it and be laughing. You know, some of you had very bad experience with me. You came to the office. Are you religious? Yes, break it. Sir. And pastor begins to laugh. God, break it. Don't be unserious. And while I'm seeing tears in your eyes, I'm like, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? Sorry. Crying like a child. Just break up and move on. Who told you you're in love? And when they leave the office, I'm like, dear Jesus, it's not easy. I want you to know that for every time I laughed, I still said, dear Jesus, at the end. Amen? And when they broke up, are they not stronger today? If you know the foolishness, some of you now think about the relationship you broke up from. It was depth of foolishness. It's now that you are seeing it too. That time, if they told you, love is blind, they said. If they told you, you would not believe it. He's the right one. She's the right one. We were meant for each other. Stars flew from heaven and came and affirmed that you are the chosen one. Blah, 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 blah. But look at now, as you are seated there, if that relationship flashed in your mind now, you'll be like, dear Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. But at that time, everybody was wrong. See what Paul said, for instance. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. No, give me verse 10 first. Let me see verse 10. Verse 9, okay. Verse 11. Alright, let's read together. I want to go. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see that? You see that? So what do? We get you mature. And how do you get mature? By the word. Hebrews 5 said, when we give you words of righteousness, which is strong meat, it's at that point, with that knowledge, I mean, you get your senses exercised to a point you can tell the difference between what? Right and wrongs. Give me that initial scripture in the Amplifier rendition. In the Amplifier, where we were, okay, in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. You can't help it. Your reasoning, everything is affected if you're a child. The way you talk, the way you reason, it's like a child. Because you're a child, you can't help it. Shekinah cannot help it. She has to act like that. She can't just decide to become a man. Are you get what I'm trying to say? A woman, I mean, an adult. No, she's a child. At that point, at this point of her life, the only person that can help her see life and not get hurt is her father and mother. Do you understand? Because she doesn't have the maturity to decide everything she wants. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of the things she's touching will hurt her, so we collect it from her hand. Some of the decisions she wants to make will kill her, so we'll stop it from happening. Are you all listening to me? Hallelujah. That's how it is. When you are a child, you allow your shepherd, your pastor. Are you listening to me? The person God has put in your life to direct your path in the right direction. You take advantage of your shepherd. You know, people say they are bad pastors, they are fake pastors. How can a man control my life? Are you for real? How can a man control your life? Who is Jesus? The Bible said the man Jesus. He saved you as a man. If human beings are too small, don't receive salvation. The greatest need of a man came through a man. He came as a man, died for you, was buried and resurrected. Don't allow Satan make you foolish or the civilization of man. He made it this way. Didn't you see it in the Bible? He said the fivefold ministry are given for what? The perfecting of the saints. Interestingly, he did not say the Holy Spirit, even though we know chiefly that it is through the Holy Spirit who will perfect the saints. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He subjected everything to the fivefold. Of course, the fivefold will not stand up logically to perfect saints. They'll have to employ the help of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it? Not because you are immature, you are foolish, I mean, but because you are not matured yet. And our joy is that we all grow into perfection. We all grow into maturity. Some are matured, some are getting mature, some are not mature. And humility entails that you know your level and accept it. Imagine you are in 100 level and you are claiming doctor as a medicine student. You are in 100 level, you want to perform operation. When you have not even entered into your core courses, are you listening to me? You've not studied even biochemistry and certain courses which are your core courses. I may not be able to call all of them. And now you are telling people that you want to perform operation. What if they give you the privilege to perform it? The way you will tear that stomach. Even you will not understand how to close it back. Because you are doing what you have not learned. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. You know one thing Satan will do? He will make sure that a child thinks he's a man. When a child begins to think that he's a man, that child is finished. Even in the physical, we'll call it tear eye. Isn't it? Say he don't tear eye. She don't tear eye. Doesn't want to be corrected. And things like that. Get it? See, in the Hebrew, there is no word like coincidence. A language that Jesus spoke, no word like what? Coincidence. They don't believe in coincidence. They believe that everything is prophetic. They don't believe that you can wake up in the morning and just bump into a man and say, sorry, it's a mistake. They believe everything is divinely designed, orchestrated. Are you listening to me? Everything. That's why the Bible said all things work together. The Bible believes that everything is orchestrated. God's wisdom says so. It therefore means that your friends you have today are not a mistake. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It therefore means that your father is not a mistake. It therefore means the family you came out from is not a mistake. No, it will look like a mistake if you have not found purpose yet. Seen the reason why God has put you there yet. Are you listening to me? Are you all here? And now ultimately, it therefore means that the church where you are being pastored right now is not a mistake. It therefore means meeting me as your pastor is not a mistake. You know, someone came to my office, he said, he wants to be submitted. And I said to him, are you ready? He said, yes. I said, okay. Do you know me? He said, no. His spirit, while he was praying, the Lord told him, and he always hears God this way, and God, and he's very sure it's God. I said, are you very certain? Go and pray about it. He said, yeah. I said, okay, fine, welcome. And one day he came to my office to complain about his HOD. I started laughing. I said, okay, so what do you want me to do? What did your HOD do? He said, my HOD doesn't like me. My HOD seems not to blah, blah, blah me. Blah, blah, blah. I said, your HOD doesn't like, how do you know he doesn't like you? So I just feel it. I just feel it. I said, no. He likes you. Say, but sir, he doesn't use me. I never sing. I never do this. I never do that. And where I was coming from, I always used to be in charge. I said, there, Jesus. And now Satan wanted to destroy him. Satan then told his friends to tell him this. He said, sir, some of my friends say that they know me now. They know who I used to be. How can me like this not be singing every Sunday? Sometimes my friend come around to expect me sing. And they say I'm dying. They say my grace is just not being used. You know what God likes? That you invited people to come and see you sing. And the MD changes his mind. You see, God likes those things. He uses them to mold you. Yes, people who have not seen training. When we're growing up, you invite everybody. They promise you are the one leading the song. But the morning, the MD will be like, I don't feel okay about that song. I think we're going to make a mistake. Let Sister Deborah lead the last song we sang. Okay, so maybe another time we'll choose another person for another song. Meaning you are not even leading next Sunday. When they choose another song and it doesn't fit your voice, you are not the one still leading. Everybody you invited to come and watch you perform would not, they will be disappointed because maybe you may not even back up. And at the end, only God will get the glory. But something is happening to you. And when he was saying it, I was also seeing a child speaking. He said, sir, my friend, say, my friend, I say, oh God, wrong company. See, my friends say, I'm not performing. They are shocked at me. He now says, I know where I used to come from. I know how they used to use me every time. I laughed. And I said, did God tell you to come here again? He started stammering. Yes, sir. Are you sure God told you to come and meet me? He said, yes, sir. I said, you will not sing. You will sing only when God wants you to sing. He says, sir, my grace, my potentials will be dying. I said, nothing is dying. In fact, you only find life, true life in this kingdom in death. The young man could not help it. He had made up his mind. Satan told him his HOD doesn't like him. He has made up his mind. He couldn't be helped, even though he was standing before his pastor. I remember, I think that day, I think he wanted to sow something. You know, I've been so much walked by the Holy Ghost that if you are having issues with your life, if you have pride, I don't collect your seeds. Your seed will not solve your pride. You cannot substitute pride with seed. Are you listening to me? If I notice it, even if you are giving me 1 billion naira, I wouldn't collect it. And I gave him certain instructions. I said, go back. Nobody hates you. If God led you here, God knows me before God sent you to me. God is not sending you to make me better. God sent you to me to make sure I make you better. God did not send you to us to correct us. God sent you to us so that we correct you. And I said to him, go back and learn. A lot of times, plenty of people like this, men, because of friends. You don't know that Satan can be within friends a lot of times. Even within the assembly, the atmosphere of Jesus, there was Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. Anybody that gives him access. You see, I know some of you are wondering, how did Satan get into Peter? In the atmosphere of Jesus. We've sang that song. In the atmosphere of Jesus. We can be in the atmosphere of Jesus if you are thinking stupid things. You are paving a way for Satan to enter you. Are people not sleeping on a Sunday morning when people are getting healed? A powerful soul service. Somebody is giving testimony next week. That same service, if that sleeper remember, the person that slept, will be like, ah. When the pastor said that, he will say it's last Sunday. How did I not hear? Then he will not remember he was sleeping. In the same service, how did he pave way for Satan to make him sleep? His attention, he was distracted. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? A lot of times when you are distracted, Satan will cause you to sleep. You are thinking of another thing. Sometimes your problem, sometimes your house rent, sometimes the things are not working. As you are thinking, the next thing is like, you start sleeping. But if you are concentrated on the word, you will never sleep. And I hope you know that receiving time, receiving the word of God is like war in the realm of the spirit. Because at that point, he wants to get you distracted. Remember Matthew 13? Some seed fell by the roadside. Some fell by this. Some fell by that. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And if you could really remember, in the parable of Jesus, it was more like 5% or less of the seed that truly germinated and grew. He spoke about one that fell by the wayside, meaning that they received the word, they were excited, but when the pressures of life came, can you remember? Suddenly they lost everything. They forgot the word of God. The pressure made them to forget the word of God. There are people like that. Pressure makes that. You think God would change the situation because of you are crying? I hope you know the day you said, you see these songs we sang. Oh, the son's day is free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child. Now, you implicate it. As you are saying these things, life is watching you. The universe is looking at you. Wow. They're excited. They are shocked at your words. Alright? And so the storm will come. Are you listening to me? They will come. Because these things you are saying are too powerful. They will come. It's called a test of light. Are you listening to me? Paul was in that situation in his life. The Bible said he sought the Lord 3 times to take away an infirmity from him. But nothing happened. Now, listen carefully. Paul had been teaching grace before that incident. Paul was not trying to understand grace according to history. That was 2 Corinthians 12. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Paul was teaching grace before that incident. He said, I saw the Lord thrice. Now, the reply of God paints a picture, affirms the fact that Paul had been teaching and understood grace already. The Bible says God told him, Paul, my grace is what? If Paul never knew grace, he would not tell Paul my grace. He said, my strength is what? In this your weakness, this is the best time for me to explore myself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because that's human ability. Now my ability wants to find expression. That's what God told him. In this weakness, in this your weakest point, my strength wants to find expression. My grace is sufficient for you. He reiterated to Paul what he had already said to Paul. Paul was thinking of something new because at some point in your life, it will look like the word of God is not working. Paul was there. He wanted new revelation. He wanted God to deliver him beyond the revelation he has heard. He had heard a lot of revelation. He knew a lot of revelation. But he just wanted the hand of God to come and remove him in the situation. God said, no, it's not like that. What you have heard is what will take you out. Because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10 that there is no temptation that's taking you beyond your ability to overcome. So the trials and the temptation, they came because you have, God allowed it. He didn't send them, but he allowed it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because the Bible says God does not test with evil. He is not the one tempting you. But he allows it because he is very sure his children have the capacity to overcome it. So I have the capacity to overcome. It's so the Lord tries. So that's how the young man just left. You know, a lot of times, the saddest part of a pastor is when he sees somebody tilting towards darkness and he can't do anything. Every pastor, sincere pastor, you ask that question, they always tell you that's my saddest part as a pastor. I'm seeing somebody entering fire and yet I can't do anything because they have the power of will. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Not even God can do anything. God has given us the power of choice. Are you listening to me? You can't force somebody to do something against their choice. So the best you can do as a sincere pastor, if you are a sincere pastor, is to pray for them. And not everybody can do that. Some people will say, just get out from my life. That's the best you can do. Are you listening to me? It's so sad. And so that is why many people are not growing. They are just in the realm of doctrine. As we are saying it now, they are getting excited, mental assenters. But when their HODs, because you are waiting for Prophet Simon, when their HODs begin to interface with them, why are you posting such a thing on your status as a Christian? They begin to get offended. They're telling me not to post this, and what is wrong with this dressing? So why are you talking like that on your status? Why are you posting certain things like this? Why are you talking like that? Get offended in church. Maybe they get offended. Sometimes, when they are even sharing food, you can be offended. See, they've not given me. They pass me. She passed me. She passed me. Pass me not to gentle. She passed me. She gave my neighbor. She hates me. She hates me. I've been thinking towards that direction. I think Anna hates me. How will Anna leave me and give Deborah? Why? Why? 2 times. I watched her twice. She came. She saw me with her food. She passed me. And probably sometimes it's random. She passed me in church. What caused that problem? What did Satan use? Food. Satan will always use. Why churches have issues sometimes? Because what you've not dealt with at home, you carry them to church. Satan will not use them. You see, the church is full of a lot of imperfect people. Alright? Although it's a place for perfecting people. So probably you find the perfect. But it is full yet with a lot of what? Imperfect people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So you see high-level behavior in church sometimes. It's the truth. You see our way street behavior sometimes in church. What are you expecting? They just came to church. They've not stayed more than 5 months. You are expecting angels for them to be paternostra. What? They can change it for you in church. See, they whine me. They mad. Hold this shoe. I go break your head in church. And the pastor is like, "What? Where am I? Lord, are we in GCMI?" You see people that are stubborn at home. People that when their mother talks to them, they are like, "Nyah." You see the manifestation sometimes as HOD. They came to church. You trained them yet. You told them it's kingdom, not democracy. You thought you've done something. You taught them it's kingdom like our HODs do, not democracy. It's kingdom. You did all the teaching. Then one time you give an instruction and one of your members is like, and you're like, "Oosh." If you are not trained as a leader, you may want to take offense. But of course, if you have been trained, you know that it is only normal. They are coming from somewhere. They are familiar with it. They are doing it to their father and mother. Why do you think for you it will be different? So you have to be patient. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Definitely. And one day I was talking with a leader. Said, "Sir, he spoke to me rudely years ago. Spoke to me the way he did not answer me properly. So I felt like he should be removed." I started laughing. I said, "He did not answer you properly. Can I pray you carry that WhatsApp and check how he replies his mom?" Years ago, I was with one of my boys. He was talking to somebody. I never knew it was his mom. I thought it was his junior sister. He shouted at the end. Dah! So I came outside. I was so shocked. I said, "Who are you on the call with?" Not because who he was on the call with would justify the way he was speaking. But I just wanted to know first. I want to be very sure before I deal with what I heard. I rushed out. I said, he was saying it carefully. He couldn't hold it in. Why? Now I exploded. I came outside. I said, "Let me see that phone." Because he was stammering. "Let me see the phone." It was lovely, my lovely mom. I said, "Dear Jesus Christ." That's when I knew that they've been deceiving me for years. This one does not honor me. He's just deceiving me. Because for me to hear him talk to his mom like this, my own, what am I? Hallelujah to Jesus. I knew something will happen soon. It's like time bomb. Like I was telling somebody, I said, if for instance you find somebody who knows how to give money outside and gives and behave nicely outside, but at home when you come, they say he's greedy, he doesn't behave, he barks like a dog. That person is a hypocrite. His real identity is what the family are saying, not what all of you outside are saying. What he's doing out there is he's trying to cover, have one kind of image, portray one kind of image out there. He wants people to see him in a certain nice way. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But the real him, come and ask his family members. That's the real him. That's why even some of us, our family members cannot, maybe because they are not GCMI members. So they do not remain you food. God is training you, you don't know. You go back home, all of you are bastards. Evil people, antichrist. So because I went to church, this is what I get. Idiots. Idiots. Idiot. Everybody from head to toe, idiot. Now, they actually did what was wrong. But them too, they are wondering, the thing did not reach you calling us idiots and bastards. Now, we thought you should have some patience. Then one of them, maybe younger than you, will now come and say, "Are you not a Christian? Maybe they invite me, make I call your church every time." Now you now lift your hands. "You are an idiot. I will slap you." Then the next Sunday, "Come and follow me to church. I'll buy you something." Say, "Me follow you. To where? You this, I beg you, before you beat me on the church, on the way to church. Like you almost beat me the other day." They will not come. Some finish this service now, they go back home, they are frying Christmas meat, they'll carry like four and put in their pocket and go outside. They are Christians. Christians. GCMite. You know, I was telling somebody one time, something happened with one of our members, he misbehaved. He put my picture, of course, almost all our members have my pictures, maybe during birthday. And somebody who I used to know, he opened our first Fidelity account, this one we use. He's the one that opened it. And we didn't even have all the documents when he opened it. He just looked at me and said, I like your fire. I'll make sure I open this account for you, even though we don't have everything yet. And he opened it for me. So when some of the documents came, were ready, and I gave it to him. He now fixed them. So one day I saw the guy in church. I was so excited, I hugged him. And we're talking, he said, you've grown, blah, 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 blah. He said, but Kai, it's not a good reason that brought me to your church. I said, what is the reason? He said, I saw somebody's picture on your picture on somebody's timeline on Facebook. He celebrated your spiritual father. I said, okay, go ahead, please. He said, so I said, if he knows you, he can't be stupid. I said, you know, that one now is getting interesting. And my voice with this, please just go ahead. And I pinched my wife. I said, here's something. He said, the person, I contracted the person. I didn't only contract him, sir. I recommended him for two others. Sir, because your picture was on his timeline and I saw him in your church. Sir, and I said, he will not be stupid if he's with you. That's what was ringing in my head. He will not be stupid if he's you. In fact, he now says, sir, he is one of your leaders. I said, hey, God. I said, so you've been giving the picture. I said, promise to bring it the next day, sir. As we speak, his numbers, all of them are not going. And so as we speak, the two people are calling me. So I repeat, if it's not your picture, I would have not given him the job. I don't even know him from anywhere. Just before we finish hearing that one, another case came. And this is what we face as pastors. This one used to be my 2 weeks, 3 weeks roommate. He was like one month, not up to 1 month, he came and stayed with me before he got hostess space. I think he's a lecturer now, MBSU. Years ago. And they used to come around, I teach them the word of God, and the rest. They would just come and sit, and of course, because he was familiar with me, he stayed with me one time, why hostel was not open yet. He said, sir, the guy came and he said, he's part of your media team, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, okay. So what happened? And he told me he needed some gadgets for some personal things. And I asked him, you are sure you are a GCMI? He said, yes. And he said, yes. Showed picture, blah, blah, blah. I said, but Simon is our father. Well, he has taught us many things, blah, blah, blah. In fact, I've been looking for ways to just do something for him. Please, if you collect this gadget, tell him that I am the one that gave you. Let him know that I am the one. Firstly, I did not know until that day they are reporting. Secondly, the gadgets were not returned. I said, how much is the worth? He said, 2 million, sir. He says, sir, the only reason why you will not pay is because it is you. If not, sir, they were thinking I should come to the pastor, let him pay. Because he collected it under the name of the church. I didn't know what to say. I just lifted up my hand and said, Father, I thank you. When he left, I said, God, so if it's not this person now, I will pay 2 million. The young man told me, sir, I forgive everything because of you. And he stood up and left. Now, listen carefully. I'm not somebody that hides the image of people. Everywhere you find imperfect people, are you listening to me? Especially in church. You think if a lady, as I'm training you now, a lady now gets pregnant or drive her from this church, me, you carry that stomach, come to church, 9 months you deliver. We will not hide picture. When we snap you, we will not cover the stomach. We will leave it like that. I don't have any image to protect out there. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, I hear that some pastors will say, stay at the back so that you not give a wrong image to the church. People will not say in that church. Let them talk. It's the foolish ones that are saying that. The intelligent people know that such a thing can happen in the church. And you people get what I'm trying to say? No matter how the pastor tries. See, if Jesus did not get it perfect with his church members, I don't think I'm going to get it perfect with church members. Jesus did not. He's our standard. And made Judas have the impetus to betray Jesus. Nobody has done that one yet. He sold Jesus. Imagine I was sold by one of my pastors. That's what Judas did. What kind of mind is that? See, the one I kiss is the one. See the boldness. Kissed him, they carried Jesus. And Jesus asked him, what a kind and a gentle leader he is. He said, you betray me with a kiss? Sorry, Epeko. Decide. Hallelujah to Jesus. Wait a minute. He betrayed Jesus. Look at the confidence, Judas. And they carried Jesus because of how many shekels of silver? That's why if you don't deal with those personal problems, they will cause trouble in church. That your bad character, deal with it as well. Allow God deal with it through us in church. The senior pastor, the HODs, assistant HODs, all level of leaders. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You will deal with it. You will see them manifest. And I told the young man, I remember, I said, your mother is talking to you. You are shouting, what is the problem? Guess what was the problem? The mother was too caring. He just came into 100 level. He doesn't know life. The mother was so caring, she was forcing to send foodstuff. And he got embarrassed. The mommy, leave me alone. You disturb people a lot. Then he was explaining strong reasons to me. He said, one day, sir, we were in a wedding, my mother took plate of rice, take away. And she was looking for me everywhere to give me plate. And she saw me, she just gave me. And I was amidst my friends. I was so embarrassed. So just imagine. I said, hey, your mother looked for you everywhere to give you takeaway in wedding. Our mothers will say, every food they bring, come and keep it here. They'll tell you, if you go to anywhere and they give you food, don't eat it. Bring it to your mother. How many of you had that? Then you keep it, they'll remove the meat and say, eat the rice. In fact, some will say, let me eat it first. Let me know that there's no poison. You own, they are looking for you everywhere in wedding, and they gave you food, and that was offensive. Even as his pastor, I put my hand on my head first. I say, Oh my God. Truly, familiarity is a very stupid thing. I was sharing with somebody. I said, take for instance, how many of you like the writings of Paul? If you enjoy Paul's writing in scriptures, wave your hand. Some people that don't read the Bible are not even raising their hand. If you enjoy Paul's writing in the Bible, wave your hand. And if you truly don't know, it's okay, leave it down. Paul wrote, let's tell them where to go. Paul wrote what? Romans, Who wrote Timothy? Wait. Who wrote Timothy? Who wrote Timothy? That's good. Paul wrote Timothy. We're not going to bring you out. Paul wrote Timothy. And my God. So you see, these things are. No. Hey, it's okay. No, don't say the answers out. Don't say it out. They just knew the answer now. So the church is not full of perfect people. It's full of imperfect people. And hallelujah, Jesus. If I'd asked 20 people, would I still miss it? Watch. Who wrote Hebrews? Everything is Paul. Are you sure it's Paul? Thank God you got it. You know, it's just psychology. You didn't see it coming. They know the answer, but they were confused. You know, when you know that this is a book, I say, what is this? It's a booklet. So you see, Paul wrote a lot of beautiful writings, yet Paul the apostle, see, I got to admire Paul when I read A.W. Kenyon's material. I consider A.W. Kenyon one of the greatest faith teachers in the whole world. Hallelujah. So one day I was reading one of his books, and I saw how he left one part over 10 lines appreciating Paul, as Paul is his role model. He wrote it in the book. He couldn't help it. That's how much he loved Paul. And I was like, if you read the writings of Paul, you know he has a lot of wisdom. While he was writing in 2 Peter 3:16, Peter said, the writings of our dear brother Paul are inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, see, but they are very difficult to understand. Meaning it was not Peter's norm. What Paul was writing was not the normal way Peter thinks. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Peter was not familiar with the teaching. That's why I say it is very difficult to understand. It's just normal psychology. Now, Peter warned. He said, some of you don't misunderstand that scripture and consume it anyhow. Else, you'll be doomed. You misunderstand the scripture and it will destroy you. Satan will use it to destroy you. Is it happening? I was teaching someone in my office today. I said, take for instance, the Bible says, where sin abides, grace abides even more. Some people now misunderstand that. They take it so literal. Meaning that as long as I'm sinning, grace will be abiding. She cannot. Nothing. You know, I've seen people misunderstand the Bible that I'm even shocked. You know, there's this part of scripture that speaks about predestination, that we've been predestined in Christ. I hear people saying that means the people that will make heaven are already known. Through that scripture, I say, how does it connect? I don't know if maybe some of you are thinking like that too. That we've been predestinated in Christ. So what does that mean? If you read Romans 8, you should understand that. The Bible says, he that the Father foreordained, he what? Alright, let's read. You know why we're talking about this? So let's read together. For he that he what? He also what? To be what? That he might be what? Now let's stop here. He that he foreknew, he predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. So what is the predestination all about? Because scriptures explain scriptures. More like what it takes for Pastor Phil to be like Christ is Christ Jesus. For what it takes for Pastor Phil to be transformed or conformed or changed like Christ is Christ Jesus, the word of God. Are we together? Yes, sir. So let's take for instance that this is booklet is Christ. We want it changed, we give him. We want our church change, we give him. We want Agatha change, we give her. As long as we are giving everybody, they are like Christ. So, in other words, with this booklet, it has been predestined in this booklet that if anybody holds it, the person will be what? Changed. It has nothing to do with making heaven. But you see people thinking that and God knows the people that will make heaven. Satan is the author of confusion. He likes bringing what? Confusion. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's when you read your Bible, read by the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't even trust concordance yet. Concordance are very good. Concordance is not the number one thing you should trust. It's the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit that will tell you what would what to check, that will unravel the revelation. Not that you want to read nine. You say, you heard me calling Greek and Hebrew words. You just carry your Hebrew words and you'll be frustrated. Like one part of scriptures I heard Pastor Kenneth heard, his call is like mine, or my call is like his. He's first a prophet before a teacher of the word, just like me. And I heard him one time breaking 1 Peter 5. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Then he said, the Holy Spirit told me to check the word flee in the original. So you see, he had his concordance Bible there. But the Holy Spirit was the one that told him what word to word check. So when he checked the word flee, he found out that the word flee unravels everything about that scripture. He said, it is not possible to submit to God, to resist the devil, and you begin to run again. Does it make any sense? You are the one that submitted to God. You resisted the devil. Then you started running away from the devil. Does it make any sense? And the Holy Spirit told him to check that word. And when he checked that word, the word flee in the Greek simply means to stand as a terror to the devil. So when you submit to God, you are resisting the devil by default because you are standing as a terror to him. You are a light so shining like God. In you, no trace of darkness. You are shining light now. So Satan is the one on the run. The flee there is a consequence of you being transformed. That now that you are transformed, Satan is the one on the run, not you. You stand as a terror to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, the first time I heard it too, I was dumbfounded. But you see, by the help of the Holy Spirit, he was able to what? Unravel it. Not because of Concordance Bible and Greek Bible yet. Are you all listening to me? Thank God for Peter. Sometimes I used to wonder if Paul was the head of the church, maybe you would have never accepted Peter. Are we together? But Peter was a unique leader. God knows why he gives leaders, make leaders leaders. Are we together? And he gave him a right hand of fellowship, the Bible said. And he was one that welcomed him, even though the 12 didn't like him so much. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, what I'm trying to say is that Paul was so full of wisdom. Alright? And, you know, let me just add this. One of the reasons why Paul was full of wisdom, we cannot be foolish not to recognize that. Paul understood the Torah very well. Are you listening to me? He was a first-class student in the understanding of the Torah. He learned from Gamaliel, who was more like, if they say, they wanted to substitute the law now in 2 Corinthians 3, they said, the law, instead of Moses now, they said, the law. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Gamaliel was more like, when one talk about understand the Torah, you just call his name. He was a brain boss in that aspect. And so the best student is trained by the guy. And Paul was the best student, probably in his school. He was trained personally by that man. Paul was that wise. Although he said, I count all my wisdom but what? Junks. For what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Yet, whatever he learned, if you read, take note in his writing, it helped him to explain Christ even better. He is the only one that, that's why some people are wondering whether he's the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. See the style of writing. He will use all the things that happen in the Old Testament to explain the place of Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See how he explains, you know, from Old Testament, it connects to the New Testament, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and just brings light for us. Oh, Christian, don't just be shouting hallelujah and jumping in church. There's a place for that, to jump and to shout and to scream, but quietly go back home and understand the Bible properly and intelligently. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds in our mind. The battlefield is what? We are our mind. Our mind is the battlefield. What do we use to war? In the battlefield of our mind. Words. Ideas. So if you don't have words enough, ideas enough, on your inside, there'll be trouble. A man of God calls it war of words. There'll be trouble. You know, I had a man, somebody who's so respected. I don't want to just reference him yet. Came to my office today and we're talking. And he was just explaining some of his problems. And I was so humbled, knowing the kind of person that he is and the rest. And at some point, I said to him, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, speak about the mind. There's a reoccurrence of something, an event, reoccurrence of something. I said, let's talk about the mind. I said, the reason why Satan still have power to do this and this and this in your life is because of your thinking. If you change your thinking, you will break that circle. Because the Bible says, a man thinketh, so is he. Hallelujah to Jesus. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I said, if Satan gets you to think the wrong things, you will never see the right manifestation. His job is to make sure you are thinking rubbish first. If he wants to destroy you. You probably didn't get a job the first time, didn't get a job. You now think you have near success syndrome. No, you don't have it. You have the Holy Ghost. Refuse it. You now think somebody is pursuing you from the village. No one is pursuing you. Now, what if they are pursuing you? Then it's an error. They are not supposed to be able to pursue you. They asked Jesus, who sinned for this man to be born blind? He said, forget about that. It's not necessary. Let the glory of God be seen. Eyes be open. Forget about whatever Satan is doing. Stay so much on what Christ has done. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Stay so much on what Christ has done. I said something in one of the videos I saw, one of my old videos. I said, we don't market Satan. What Jesus has done is too much for us to emphasize Satan in it. We can't emphasize Satan in what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done is too much. Too much, I can't talk about Satan. I mean, if you throw Satan in what Jesus has done, Satan's strength will be diluted. That's why the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? In the glory of God, the sting of death does not find expression." Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Satan becomes impotent. That's what the Bible said. He that had power is now what? Impotent. O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death cannot find expression again. Where are we now? In the glory. No trace of darkness. You win in your mind. As I'm saying, Satan is fighting to make sure you are a forgetful hearer of the word. When we are done, he reminds you of the things we've gone through. And instead of rejoicing with the, because of the word of God you have heard, you will begin to cry because of the things you are remembering. I have gone through a lot. That's why you see some people, instead of talking the word of God, they are emphasizing their problems. They are talking about the things Satan is doing. You know, some people, when they sit in my office, they wonder, some guys online called me and while we're talking, they were telling me all their problems, two ladies, all their problems in this world. And the only thing I said is, you see, you just need to understand the word of God. And I can just sense disappointment in the tone of the lady. I'm not married, business is not working, blah, blah, blah. The family, we've been having this chain of not marrying, blah, blah, blah. And things are not working. You just need to listen to the word. Now, I'm going to send you my website, Get the Word in You, one of those messages, and several others, and listen. And now, she was shocked. When you saw prophet, I'm sure they were very, very anticipating that when they called me, I'm going to tell them some rituals to do, and maybe I will now charge them for... They were sounding like they wanted me to charge them. And all I told them was to just get to the site, get messages, and they will be free without me even interfering. And just said a word of prayer, and I told her it's done. I said, in the name of Jesus, it's broken, this is bad, now it's done in Jesus' name. I just said a very cold amen. Thank you, sir. I said, blessings, you can go. That was all. In their heart, they want me to shout, Esha, Paco, Ika, Paka, Alakwakati. All right, now, I see. Many people have become false prophets because they don't know the word of God. I see there is a tree in your village. And that tree, your father did something. Now, if you go to that tree, you're going to cut it first. When you cut that tree, then the problem is cut. Then what you do is pour salt and water on the tree where you go. That's only all those stories. But this prophet just said it's done. Listen to the word, and if it's changed in your heart, it will be changed in your life. And it's too easy for somebody to believe. Just as we're seated here, I'm going to get all of you. As we're talking here right now, if for instance, I hope Pastor Peter come, I hold him by the hand. You know that those things now. And we begin to, the way some of you will be charged. But see, as I'm teaching this thing now, you are finding it difficult to believe that I'm speaking the scrolls of heaven. You know, in fact, you even prefer, you will sense the presence of God when I begin to talk about scrolls. So in the scrolls, it is reading with the ink of blood. That the magistrate court of heaven, blah, blah, blah. You may begin to think now, the atmosphere is getting tougher. Because of your mindset now, you begin to sense angels. Because of you, for you, if something doesn't sound ancient, it is not powerful. And what is really even ancient? Is it works like that. Just see somebody come and start referring to Apostle Babalola, which we love and respect. Oh my God. That's why these people have understood you. If they want to start a message, they don't reference like five people. They just need to go and watch stories. The word of God does not even steer people again in stories. Meanwhile, the Bible says something. Jesus spoke to me one day I was driving. He said, if you don't forget the former things, you will never see the new things. You can be seated. Now, I know what I said is heresy to some of these people. He said, forget what the former things. Why did he say to a people in scripture? They were emphasizing it too much. You live all your life as a Christian sharing stories. And the only thing you have heard is headache. Even when you are sharing the story, you yourself, your own headache is still there. You are feeling headache. Faith does not come by sharing stories. It comes by hearing the word. What made us to be telling, you know, what has made us to be sharing stories of our fathers of faith is not because they heard stories of other people. It's because they stayed with the word of God. Are you listening to me? Your own too will not be different. It is on, as you stay with the word of God, that you begin to see God manifest to your life. It comes by hearing the word, not stories. So, back to what I was saying. See how powerful Paul, a man of God, Paul was as a man of God. Yet, in Galatians 3, Paul was complaining about some human beings in church. He was complaining. He said, "Oh, ye foolish Galatians." I forgot to brought one for you in 2 Corinthians 6, I guess, where Paul was explaining his CV. He said, "I'm not a small man. I'm a Jew of Jews," something like that, right? "I schooled in the best school." Blah, blah. He wanted to make them understand that he's not pastoring because he's hungry. I said, "Every pastor, if you don't say this thing, you have truly not pastor." Beginning from Paul. Because at some point, you have to make people understand that you are not here for their money. Paul explained that thing to them. He said, "Me, I'm an elite in this our place. I'm a senior citizen." He said, let me sound foolish a little bit. That's how he said it. He said, "Let me sound foolish a little bit like worldly people. Me too, I have that." Because the people were not listening to him, they were looking down on him. Are you listening? And in Galatians 3, you saw him say, "Oh, ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" I laughed the first day I read that scripture with understanding. I've been reading it too. One day, I started laughing. I said, "Ah! He paid Paul for this place. He paid Paul where? I tried to stand and view it from where Paul was standing. Imagine, you know what you are saying. The same man of God in book of Galatians and Romans that said, "God spoke this gospel to me," came and said the gospel, and the people said, "Let us vet this gospel with another person." The person now said something against what Paul said. They now preferred the person. Paul came back and said, "Who goes that preacher?" He said, "You people are foolish. Me, I told you something. You are very foolish, all of you." They didn't pay Paul. You know, some of you have said, because they wrote it in English, "Oh, ye foolish guy." You think that's what Paul said? "Oh, ye foolish, you people." Of course, the person that watched the scenario, the only thing he can summarize everything as, he can't mention probably all the insults. Paul just said there. In summary, Paul meant that they are foolish. You think Paul was like, "Oh, ye foolish Galatians. Oh, ye foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you from the truth? Eh? Why is it that you want to start in the spirit and now you want to end in the flesh? Galatians." Of course, there was an exclamation mark there. "Oh, ye foolish Galatians!" He was shouting. Paul lost it at that point. He said, tell me, what you started in the spirit, you want to end in the flesh? Now, this is what I want to explain. Look at how they were so familiar with Paul. See our present Paul today. They were so familiar with Paul that Paul was done. They chose another pastor. You cannot imagine yourself under Paul. I know if Paul come now, I will see that all of us will prefer to listen to Paul. But they, maybe if it was myself that came, they would have listened to me better in days of Paul. Because they were seeing Paul every day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Paul was always there. So they became so familiar with Paul. You know, there are things we don't want to say. I don't want to even say now because it will sound funny. But sometimes we see members even behave like that. Well, I'm wondering, what is even hitting them as Rema? They've heard it like 1,000 times. But they were never hearing it properly to catch that because they were so familiar. One time we were talking to Pastor Peter, some things we're saying on campus. On campus is what some people are saying now. We're seeing it everywhere. No pride. But we started saying these things from where? Campus. It's not today. But familiarity will never make you discern the grace of God. Are you all listening to me? You have to be careful with familiarity. That somebody is always available does not mean he's stupid. That somebody is always smiling does not mean he's a foolish person. Listen, it's not by burning face that you are anointed. But is it somehow the logic works? Because when somebody burns his face and looks, maybe he tries to form a spiritual look, the people's faith are boosted because they think the person is spiritual. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. And probably some move of God is seen. But it's unnecessary. You don't have to be funny. People can be nice and it doesn't mean they are stupid. Are you listening to me? It doesn't mean they are stupid. Not just to pastors, but to your friends, your fathers, your mothers. Some of you look down your parents because they are too nice. In fact, some people don't greet their father and mother with sigh again. Good morning. If you want to know that you don't have honor, the way you greet your boss in the office, if you don't greet your parents like that, you are a hypocrite. You know why you are a hypocrite? That one can pay you. What these people have done for you, that one cannot do it, even small. He will pursue you. He will rather sack you. In fact, immediately they say the money is not enough in this company, blah, blah, they will sack you sharp, sharp without thinking twice. But can your parents sack you? Yet you go to the office, Eka Rosa, you go back home. And she was like, no, I honor him, I honor him. I said, the way you honor your boss in the office, do you honor your husband like that? She was just, I said, why are you I never saw it like that. I said, how do you greet your boss? So in sincerity, I greet him very well. The man can be tough sometimes. We just try to make sure he's happy. I said, okay, when your husband is not in a good mood, do you try to make him happy? And the husband looked at themselves. Rather, you insult him. People are making their wife happy. You keep your face like one rock. Blah, 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 stupid man. But when your boss face is boning, when your boss is boning in the office, you'll be looking for a way to buy him Coke or Fanta. So I just felt like I should buy you this malt, sir. So I bought the malt. So should I open it for you? When he doesn't smile, run and go and buy meat pie and come. So my spirit says I should join meat pie on it. Because the way it's boning, you don't know that they want to sack you. So I told the lady, I said, if you talk to your boss better than your husband, you are a fake wife. Fake one. Vet your honor. But if you find out that anybody outside, do you understand what I'm trying to say? The way you greet your boss, you go back home. So look at your husband. Babe, Alpha. There's a place for babe, Alpha. Are you listening to me? There's a place to kneel down, honor. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I said, kneel down. So people want to die now. Kneel down. For what? For what? Who is he? I hope you get my point about Paul. So people can be familiar. If Paul, you see the way you are looking at me now. If Paul was your pastor and I come, you would have heard me better than Paul. I'll just come dressed one kind. And just dress sharp and enter. I said, listen, everyone. Maybe I begin to sound strange. You see, in the strings of heaven, Micah just stroke C. And you are not following me. Calm down from that keyboard. Young man, let him pray for 5 minutes so that he can catch it. But if somebody is so basic, it sounds so basic. So the Bible says, what? Your voice don't sound spiritual. Change your voice. So now when we begin to enter into realms where our guardian angels begin to beckon on our mortality to ascend into the realms of the third heavens, then in that realm, you know, you see people being like, ash! What is burning them? The English. People can be funny. I'm telling you the truth. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying to you is very, very true. That's why you see, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's why you go to places like that. You say, they don't even know how to quote scriptures. They can't quote scriptures. I met people that when I'm quoting, they're just looking at my mother. And they're apostles. So when I'm done, they'll say, you are an apostle. I'll say, why? You know Bible very well. Which kind of funny talk is this one? Every Christian is supposed to what? Understand the Bible. There are many apostles that need to sit down and learn the word. They don't know the word. I'm not trying to mock them. They are my genius. So I know what I'm saying. Even in ministry. I've spoken to them, most of them. They need to sit down and understand the Bible. Because they haven't leading people astray. I'm not trying to mock them. I'm not trying to talk down them so that anybody prefers me. No. But it's the truth. You know the Bible says we should contend for the faith. When you see somebody saying something wrong, it will pain you as a preacher that is trying to contend for the faith. Because you know that this can be passed from one generation to another. And it will become a doctrine. That Satan will not leverage upon. And He will limit a generation for a long time. Today we are talking about certain doctrines. Is it not interesting that right now we cannot remove some doctrines? It seems that we cannot remove some doctrines again from certain denominations. Things that God did not start now, they are using Bible to prove it. Huh? They ask somebody to prove his praying. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but praying in a particular way in an Orthodox church. You know, this kind of prayer, I think it's a chaplet or something. And I was so shocked. They opened Bible and were explaining the mysteries. And I said, God of mercy. Now, that the things you are saying is in the Bible does not mean that the Bible started. They say, show us where the Bible says you should be counting something with your hand. Where was it written in the Bible? Who counted anything in the Bible? I'm not trying to mock, or please, nobody should come from you. All the founders of that place, I beg. I will not answer after this video, and I pray they don't see it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Where did the Bible, did Jesus ever give us anything and say we should pray it? We should be counting it? And I heard a preacher one time saying he was mocking pastors. He said, don't think it's because you are just online every morning shouting amen. You know, listen, let me tell you something. A lot of people speak from very bad motive, bad intentions. If the prayer is blessing people, there is no problem there. When you see somebody just come up with one kind of unnecessary argument, run away from them. It's bitterness. You know, I saw somebody trying to prove that what God does not do exists. What is the meaning of that? When it's obvious that we understand what that person means. If I tell you what God does not do does not exist, is it not obvious that you know what I'm talking about? With God, all things are what? That's another way I'm saying it. What God cannot do does not exist. Okay, tell me that with God, some things are not possible. But because Satan, you know, when you are doing that, you will not know how you, if to the intelligent mind, to people who are mature, you look like a baby. When you are trying to prove that there are some things that God cannot do, you look like a very little child. Because we know what is moving this, moving you is flesh, it's not spirit. It's the works of the flesh. And a man from such a denomination was trying to mock pastors and etc. That is not by all these tongues, they are not so. Now, you are firstly insulting Paul in scripture. You know, I watched somebody one time preaching. He said he does not agree with Paul. You are in Kaduna or years ago. And from this church I'm talking, in Kaduna, you were privileged to come and celebrate a service. You sat down, sorry, maybe a mass. I mean, you are there on a Sunday saying you don't agree with Paul. Who are you? Where did they burn you? What did you, well, if you like, spend 10 years, what did you learn in the 10 years? You come out, you have impetus to say you don't agree with Paul. I personally think God will flog such people. He said, did not say which area. He said, let me tell you the area I'm not agree. That part where he was talking about tongues, I don't agree with him. It is because your denomination does not agree. Satan is very terrible that he will make you argue with Bible. If he holds you with those strongholds, it starts small. That's why we are preaching against these things right now. You don't know what we are doing when we say stop wearing two earrings as a man. There is no direct way to say it. You will be in heaven one day, you'll be so shocked your son has three. Be joking. I'm not talking about your great grandson. He has three. God forbid, bearing your son's name. And you're like, God, can I have 5 minutes to walk on this guy with this cane? With the cane of heaven. Just give me 5 minutes. If I tear him slap, they will not disgrace my name and your name. And God will tell you, no, your time has passed. You would have laid the foundation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See, somebody put, I was teaching one time about the new creation. That's why, listen, are you people here? It is difficult for our fathers of faith to accept these things we are doing. It is very difficult. Let me sit down. I've been working since morning. I'm tired. Are we together? It is very difficult. How can you explain that Pastor Chris and W.F. Kumui? You see these men I'm calling their weights in the realm of the spirit. These people who God used to found more like founding fathers. or close to, outside the Babalolas and the Bezi Idahusas and the rest of them, Paeltin and the rest of them. Maybe they did not see this revelation about the New Testament like we are seeing right now. You people get what I'm trying to say? Maybe they ran with what they knew so much in their time. And we today are privileged to see even deeper. And let's claim we understand the New Testament very well and we think they are in the Old Testament. Then the proof that we understand the New Testament, for them, they read a part of the Bible that showed them that the ministry of the righteous excels. So they are waiting for the excelling glory as a proof that we know what we are saying. Only for them to wake up one morning and hear that under grace you don't pray 10 hours. Under grace you don't need to pray too much. Under grace. And they are wondering, maybe W.F. Kumi is looking at Padebe, what is happening with this generation? They don't pray under grace. He hears another people saying, under grace, you just say, take it and it's done. You just say, God, come now. God, just come. And that's all. Shikenang. I think you have called the God that it has come. Say, God, come. Let it come now. And they leave us. They're just wondering. Then the next thing, the ones that claim to be free in Christ. The free associations of the Christos. Then maybe Padeboye and Oyedepo. Let's say WF Kumi and Oyedepo sat down. They were just eating dinner. And they just watched TV and they say, how many of you believe Jesus has done everything for you? And people are raising their hand and they see tattoo everywhere. And like, is this a comedian or something? Is he joking with the name of, is he a comedian? And they saw that it's a concert. They can't believe. They just, maybe they feel like they are dreaming. They are still taking their coffee. Just them to turn and hear, lift your hands. Jesus is going to happen to all of you in this place. And they're like, hey! When they check the guy's ear, it's two earring. He now palmed this side. Worst of all, the guy now put nose ring. Now, people of God, how difficult will it be to have hope for that, for this generation? And they are expecting an excelling glory. What are fathers and mothers? Maybe with that two earring and nose ring, it will reach, you see a young man wearing leg chain. Bet, let's bet. If they've not even started wearing, they started, oh my God, just faint me, Jesus. They are wearing leg chain now. Faint me. Lord, thank you. Don't keep me for my generation. Thank God you're not seeking me. Kai! Baras Kuvahar. This one touched me even in the preaching. I didn't know that. I said a day will come. The day has already come and passed. Self. People are wearing leg chain. Men are wearing leg chain. You know, if you want to prove to those men that leg chain is wrong or earring or whatever they are doing, they'll say, no. You know, okay, if it does not mean anything, remove it. Don't wear it. They'll be feeling like demons are inside them. Have you ever noticed, how many of you, while you were growing up, you found that there was something in your body that if you don't wear, you don't used to feel happy? If you are here, just humbly raise your hand. Like there's something, if you don't wear, you don't feel happy. You know how you train yourself? Don't wear it to church. If I forget that bangle, you see me running back home like I forgot my Bible or offering. Only for me to enter as bush, and I'm looking at your carry down where, then peace will just come from nowhere. The nerves in my brain will just arrange. There's just this peace beyond understanding. All my potentials will become alive. Then when I get to church, my spiritual father will not have a problem with it. I was so ready to always buy. It was not expensive. When I just reach, you just hold it. Then you release it to hit me. Sometimes when it hits me, it will cut. Sometimes you draw it there to cut. If you observe, I did that thing to almost all of you wearing it. I was revenging. You know. That's how I used to cut it till I became wise and I stopped wearing them. Most of you here wore bangles. If you check my office inside that and this thing, there are many bangles. I don't know who owned them. You enter my office, Pastor Sam, I want to celebrate the grace of God. Call, shake me. I remove it. I said, the reason why Bango is not accepted in this church for you as a man is because it is not Bible. My spiritual father did not allow me wear. You will not wear. I know some people are like, prophet, stick her easy now. Is your spiritual father a spiritual father? Is your spiritual grandfather? So I know his will already, even though he's late. I know if he's here, if I invite him and he sees Bango, he will not continue preaching. He will say, come. He will cut it and say, okay, now the spirit is moving. Let's continue. I remember one day I wore a chain on my neck. He called me. He said, this thing now, what is he adding to you? I said, no, sir, I'm just wearing it. Just, I like it. He said, you like it? I don't like it. He now drew it. He drew it. He now held it. He cut it. I wear one fine chain and I'll open my chest, small, for people to see the chain. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? To feel me, to feel my swag. If you observe some of us, as I'm saying this chain, if he's spinning you, to hell with how he's spinning you. Some of us, listen carefully. Some of these, if we don't wear them, we cannot go out. We can't go out. Thank God I'm raising strong and mighty men in this place. You can imagine everybody seated there, no bangles, no chain, they feel okay. Just with their watch. Are you not excited? Are you not excited? To show you that that thing has a stronghold in your spirit, in your soul, remove it and say, you know where, daddy. Go to church, go to market, go to school. You feel like dying. That's when you know that Satan is using that thing to hold your heart like this. Are you all listening to me? Now, back to what I'm saying. How can our spiritual fathers, our founding fathers, believe this generation? Generation of double ear piercing for men, not women, who were fighting women that they should just leave one. Before we finish talking, men have started putting one. When I tell to men, when I know they hear it too, they tell women, when I don't put one. Before we finish advising men, two. So we just, okay, men, wait. Let's talk to women about nose ring. As he went to women, this nose that you are piercing, you know, I saw one time they were piercing a lady. She said, ah! I said, and she's still allowing them to pierce it. She went through the pain they put. I was like, now we're like, ladies, please, this nose ring is not. Before we turn, we're hearing, Jairi, you are the best. And nose ring is already there. See the song, lazy, lazy Christians. Lazy, lazy Christian. Don't think I'm attacking them. No, I'm helping them. Nothing they know. Only. Finish. New Testament Christian. Lazy. Keep them and say, let's pray 2 hours. They will die. This is a generation saying, what our fathers and mothers could only foretaste is now in our lifetime. Addiction plenty for this New Testament people pass Old Testament. Additions are breaking it. Oh my God. Because the consecration is too low. It's too low. At least those guys will sit down with what they have, pray. Prayer was consistent. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Every day it was a must to pray. Am I talking down the New Testament? No. But Satan likes to cause distraction, some kind of distraction. He's painting a picture that is making our fathers not even value these things that we're holding on to. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? They don't even value it. Some of them would have actually been, their hearts would have been changed by us. But because of how we're often going about it, they just know Satan is the one in the center of everything. Are you all listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, Peter spoke to us. 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and what? Forever. Now, can you remember a scripture familiar to this? Is this Acts 20:38? Is it Acts 20:30 or Acts 20:38 that said, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace? What? 20:32. Okay, Acts 20:32. Let's read together. One, two, go. One, two, read. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? What builds you up? The word of his grace. And give you what? An inheritance among what? So how do you grow? Stay on the word. Stay with the word. Paul says it in a beautiful way in Colossians 2, 6 to 7. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. It says, and you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Next part of scripture. Rooted and what? Built up in him. And what? Established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. So where should you be rooted and built upon and established upon? Christ Jesus. If I teach everything I don't teach Christ, have I taught anything? No. Because it is only in Christ that you can be rooted, built, and what? Established. Are you all listening to me? So you can teach a lot of things in the Bible. If you don't teach Christ, you've not taught anything that is relevant. Ephesians 4 and 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, precedes what? You being a what? Perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness. You see that? Many, if you don't have the right knowledge, you can never be a perfect man. And I mean, never come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 1 Peter 2, 2. Let's read together. One, two, read. As newborn children, desire what? The old KJV. Let me use that word, the old KJV word. Sincere word. Milk of the word. That ye may what? Grow thereby. Don't claim growth. Don't think. You know, they don't claim growth. I claim maturity in Jesus' name. You don't claim maturity. You grow. Are you all listening to me? When you go back home, be sincere to yourself. If you have not grown, start embracing the principles that were until your growth. Are you listening to me? What you don't know, the basic, it's just like mass. Are you aware that there are some people in the university who don't know mass? What am I saying? Are you aware that people that have graduated from the university that don't know mass? Huh? How many of you like mass? Say amen. If you like mass, wave your hand. If you know mass, wave your hand. I'm about to ask you a question. So wait. Please, if you know mass, can we kindly wave our hands? I'm just about to ask you a sincere question. Stand up if you know mass. Alright, I can ask. I thought there were many hands that... Okay, thank you. Amazing. So, are you ready? You know mass? Huh? You know mass? Good. Where's my marker? I want you to come and solve something for me. Let me start with you behind. Come. Come and solve this equation for me. She looks confident. You can do it. Oh yeah, give me 5 factorials answer. Solve it for 5 factorial. Oh, you didn't do further maths? You never did further maths? Huh? Okay, just normal maths. Just what? Okay, just in SS1. And then you should know factorial. You can't remember. Okay, give Donald. Come on, solve 5 factorial for me. Oh, outside Donald, who can do me 5 factorial? Wow. Why people did not stand up? Because you thought I would ask one difficult. Do it. Is it plus you are putting on times? Okay, so let me see. That's 5 factorial. Minor, you failed. You failed. Public. You see, you made me to do, you've been public. I didn't want to put you on this camera to fail. My God. Oh, no, no, you failed. No, no, no. There's somebody there that raised their hand. Where are you? Come. Choir. Where is Bessie shouting choir? Eh? Come on, help choir now, Jerry. All right, did. All right, so 5 times 4. Okay, 5 times 4 is what?
20.
Okay, no, explain how you got the answer so that I will know.
5 factorial is the multiplication of all the numbers that precede 5.
Okay. Wow, clap for her. That was interesting. You can go and sit. Donna, you have been humbled. Go and sit. I mean, you've been humbled. And okay, your name of secondary school is Wisdom. Okay, God bless your secondary school. At least let's appreciate the secondary school too. Amen? So Donna did not fail it, he forgot it. But you remember now she did it, but I thought when I said multiplication, you won't have an answer, but you truly forgot it. All right. Now, that was not what I wanted to do, but now, I still enjoyed it. At least some of you know what factorial is now. Huh? Do you still remember what this lady did? Who remember in choir what she did now? Come and explain to me. No. Should I choose anybody in choir? Dear Jesus, choir needs a lot of prayer. All right. This is what I'm trying to say. No matter your level, see now, this is like in 100 in SS1. How many of you did further mass? Don't lie, heaven is watching. If you did further mass, wave your hand. Don't lie, oh. If you did mass, wave your hand. You want to lie, that is because it's. If you did mass, this brother don't want to raise his hand in the middle. If we did mass, let's wave our hand, all of us. Good. Did you do mass too? Yes. Who did not do mass in secondary school? Say amen. If we allow some people to say amen. Because they are avoiding question. But do you know the point I want to make now is that it doesn't matter whether you have graduated from university. If you don't know the basics of mass, you still don't know mass. Do you know as little a logarithm and indices and logarithm is, for me, is one of the most easiest part of mass. As simple as it is, there are many people that still did not even understand logarithm that time they were doing logarithm. It was the most toughest part of mass for them. If it was very tough for you, say amen. How many of you remember swords? How was swords? What of geometry? Ananda is going to 16 kilometers northeast, blah blah blah, 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 blah. And you're like, Uncle, just stop. We'll fail. We have believed that we have failed. All angles on a straight line are equal and opposite to each other. Can you remember? So if you never had a good base in mathematics, whether you go to university and graduate, you still don't know mathematics. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? That's how it is with the word of God. Hey, pay attention. So listen carefully. If you don't have a good basis in the word of God, it doesn't matter whether you are 50 years a Christian, you still not know Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you all here? That's why Peter is saying, as newborn babes, desire, don't pretend. The sincere word, meek of the word. One of my friends, Kabiru Abbas in Kaduna, he's now a lecturer. A lecturer in Katsina State University. That young man was, if he's watching me, he knows I'm not lying. Kabiru was 0/0 in mass. 0, he was my seatmate. The only thing he was good with was stealing mango in NDA. That was all. There was steel mangoes and guavas. There was no tree they did not know. One time, Kaviru left us in SS2, Abi SS1. We now met in one lesson they call Ultimate Succor, where all of us who really are interested in book will attend. The man is so rigid, if you make noise, he gives you back your lesson fee. Mr. Ima. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, Mr. Ima, we went to Ultimate Succor, and I saw Kabiru one day. Kabiru Abbas, we shook hands, so happy to meet each other. We were now doing mass before Mr. Ima would come, and he was breaking geometry. I came at the back, I looked. I said, Kabiru, can you come on the mass? Simon, you are the one doing this kind of mathematics. Simon, sit down, let me answer them, we'll talk later. He broke everything. Everybody started telling him thank you. I couldn't believe it. I lost it. I think I held his hand like Kabiru Abbas. What happened? He started laughing. He said, so you believe I'm not going to ever fix Abi book? He said there was one small boy in the because they pursued him. I think they pursued him from our school. So stubborn. There was one small boy in the school he went to. The boy knew mass so much, so Kabiru started buying the guy yogurt and everything, then for the guy to teach him mass. During break, he would buy the guy everything the guy needs. The guy would now begin to teach him mass. He was so good, the boy taught Kabiru. Kabiru was so good, he did not even cheat in WAEC. You know why people are cheating? Kabiru was so confident in WAEC. Physics, chemistry. How many of you wrote WAEC confidently? Say amen. He was so confident in WAEC. No cheating. Are you all listening to me? What happened? He was humble and he learnt it from the very basics. Why do your eye like you want to sleep? If I catch you sleep. Amen? That's how he became very intelligent. So that's how it is with the word of God. There are some people calling realms who don't understand scripture. They are in the realms. They don't understand anything about the Bible. If you are that kind of person, say, be humble. In fact, there are some people that don't know the number of books in the Bible. If they come out and tell us all the books in the New Testament, they almost faint now. One time my friend said something very funny. Is Stephen in the New or Old Testament? Where is Stephen? Is it in the New or Old Testament? Old Testament. Are you here? What is my business? So, let's continue what we are saying. We're not allowed this thing. Hey, calm down. We're allowed it. Are you here? This thing is teaching in practicals. You know, my friend told me, he said, open to the book of Stephen. The guy was trying to, he said, it's in the Old Testament after Deuteronomy. The guy was rushing there. He said, be very fast. People of God, are you ready? Be fast. Chapter 3, verse 1. Read for us very fast. He was rushing. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. They say, church were laughing. Stephen is in the Bible, but it's not a book in the Bible. You are laughing. If I had done that to anybody, most of you I would have caught you. Because as long as you have read Stephen in the Bible, you think it's a book. One that I heard was Methuselah chapter 3, verse 1. Open to Methuselah. It's in the New Testament after Matthew. The guy started rushing there. He said, have you found it? He said, no, sir, I've seen only Matthew. He said, try now, check carefully. Desire the word sincere milk. Last scripture and we pray. 1 Timothy 6:20. Are you enjoying today's sermon?
Yes, sir.
I know as I'm not shouting fire, some of you are nodding, Kai, Kai. It's not entering you. But there's what I'm saying, Kai, Kai, Kai. Some would have sat on the ground already, the way we always sit on. But the one he's saying now, he's just entering calmly, and sleep is worrying you. That's a proof that you are not growing. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. avoiding what? Profane and vain babblings, and opposition of science, falsely so called. Some is even science. They are so intelligent, they know science, and the word of God is old school. They watch Transformer, they watch some fictional movies. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Verse 21. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Some people have erred because of science. I hope you know. That's why when we say Joshua made the sun to stand still, some people are like, no, according to science, it's impossible. So it's what science says we believe. It's an insult to say according to science, it is not possible. When Paul is saying avoid all those science things that contradict God. 2 Timothy 2:23. 2 Timothy. I want everybody to read. But foolish and what? Knowing that they do. They just cause trouble. 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and what? Vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Give me the TPT. Avoid empty chatter and worthless words, for they simply add to the irrelevance of those who converse in that manner. In verse 22. No, no, not here, not here. Just leave this one for now. Titus 3:9. But avoid useless controversies, genealogies, pointless quarrels. Many people arguing unnecessary things in the Bible. An argument over the law, which will get you nowhere. Irrelevant argument. 1 Timothy 1:4. Nor pay any attention to cultural might, traditions, or the endless study of genealogies. Those digressions only breed controversies and debates. They are devoid of power that builds up and strengthens the church in the faith of God. Devoid of power. You see somebody wake up and say, Adam is not the first man that was created. He was the first man created in the image and likeness of God. That's shameful. That's shameful. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible said the first man was, he said the first man is a what? Living soul. He said, but the second man, a life giver. The Bible tells us categorically that the first man is who? Adam. And when, how do we know it's Adam? Genesis 2:7, when God breathed upon Adam, what did he say? And Adam became a living soul. Isn't it? He said the first man was a living soul, the second man, the Lord from heaven. So avoid those kind of, now there are people, I've seen people arguing this thing. What the man of God says is true. Adam is not the first man, but the first man created in the grave. That's unnecessary. You will not grow by those kind of funny arguments. The Bible is clear. Are you listening to me? The Bible is the highest document that represents God upon the face of the earth. Are you listening to me? Anything outside the Bible, any book is not, does not matter. First Timothy 6:4-5 from verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which are caused with godliness. Next part of scripture. Meaning any doctrine that does not breed godliness is not of God. You see people just doing, what I don't understand, as long as there's no godliness in it, it's not of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? He said he's proud, knowing what? But is what? With what? Have you seen people like that can argue anything in the Bible? argument over words from which come envy, strife, rivaling, and what? Evil suspicions. Next part of scripture. Useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such what? Withdrawals. Paul is saying, when you see people that are into useless argument and are living anyhow, what do? Withdraw yourself. Else you'll be influenced. And lastly, 1 Timothy 4:7. It says, but reject what? Profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. Old wives' fables was a doctrine in their days. Old wives' fables. It was a doctrine in their days that was reigning. Are you listening to me? In our days, we have several fables. Some have come and go. Some are still existing. Are we together? He said, run away from them. Avoid them. And exercise yourself towards what? Godliness. Don't be looking for irrelevant things. Mystical things. Else you will not grow. These are factors that hinder your growth in the faith. Are you listening to me? Lastly, I'll give you an advice. Like I started by saying, we'll give you doctrine, we'll do reproofs, we'll do corrections. We may even do instructions, but it's up to you to choose between life and death. Are you listening to me? Sadly, let me tell you something. I wish the whole world are not watching, but I don't think it would be a problem. You see, I have seen a trend. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Satan always steals, especially in the women area, some of the best people God is training, because of wrong ideas that the world calls success. The wrong painting of success that the world describes. You know, the world feels like if a woman is around 30 and she's not married, something is wrong somewhere. And you begin to try and say, is it even 30 yet? Let's say 28, thereabout. They begin to suspect the women, isn't it? So you see somebody serving God, a young lady serving God, and when it's seeming like she's getting mature, she can't rest again. She's worried. Meanwhile, the Bible says you should not be worried. You should just be serving God. Are you listening to me? I wish I can call this man's name, but many years ago in the early, middle 90s, he told himself, I don't know if you heard that story, Jim something, that he wants to become the fastest athlete in the whole world. There was a man that was the fastest. He wants to become the fastest. You know, before that time, he didn't have any vision. And his mother told him something that I want to reference here. She said, just be serving God, be loving him. He will put a vision in your heart. And one day, the fastest man on earth was teaching them. He was inspiring young people and saying, if you have a dream, just run with the dream, blah, blah. That's not the man's vision, but God wanted to start something with him yet. Running, of course. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? The man was just advising the young student, and the young boy is black, I mean young white folks. He just said to himself, I can do more than this guy. I want to become the fastest. So he stood up and ran and went to the man and held him and said, I want to become the fastest runner. Apart from you. The man smiled and said, it's yours. You can become it. Like a joke. Jim what? Jim something, I can't really remember. He ran to the coach, told the coach embraced him and said, yes, you can do it. He didn't talk him down. Began to train this boy. Guess what happened finally? He became the fastest runner. He became it. What am I trying to say? The vision was in his heart. He embraced the vision. He believed it. And finally what? He became it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He became it. Some sort of. Nobody limited him. Nobody stopped him. He was only inspired and he manifested that vision. Why am I saying these stories? I want to connect it to something. You see, a lot of young ladies who have potentials, they have dreams. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They love the Lord. God wants to use them to do mighty. They've spoken about revivers. Some of them, shamefully, they can't even go back to their notes and read the things God has said about them. There's one unbeliever somewhere who Satan is working on. Or a Christian who is not even serious with his faith. Satan will just inspire the person. Listen, it is Satan. Inspire the young man. He will stand up and say, hey, I'm interested in you, blah, 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 blah. And you forget everything you have with God Because of marriage. Why? Because the people of the world are saying you are not successful. Why? Your friends are married. You are not married. Even if they are married, you are a kingdom person. You are different from them. Are you listening to me? You can't marry anybody. Like I said, was it last week? I said, Samson cannot cut his hair. Everybody else can cut, but not Samson. Why? Because there's responsibility upon him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You can't afford to marry anyhow. Listen, I've seen a trend. Not just in this church, in the body of Christ. I heard the pastor preaching this. I can't remember his name. He said a lady is blazing in fire. Satan just waits at the door of marriage. And this is how it takes them away. So we are there shouting, we want to see the Ketunkumans again. The Maria Woodward Etas. They are not rising because they want to please the world and their parents. I've seen people who are strong for God. We lost them because of... In fact, there was a report I was hearing recently that really pained me. God told you this is the person to marry you. And I said, Daddy, do you think this man is the right person to marry? I said, no, we don't want people from that tribe. So, okay. That's a proof God is not affirming him as my husband. What a sick way of thinking. What a sick way of thinking. Listen, we honor our parents. Learn to honor your parents. The Bible says, honor them in the Lord. My father can never make me to marry wrongly. It's not possible. Because it is not his marriage. It is my marriage. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If God tells my dad or mom that I should marry a particular person, if he affirms it, fine. But he does not have the job to affirm it in their heart. It is me he's supposed to tell. When God told me to be a pastor, listen, all of you are enjoying what God is doing in my life and how that God has helped some of you through me. My parents fought me. My father told me that I've been disowned several times for being a pastor. Are you listening to me? If you don't know now, no. I was sharing with leaders. They finished budgeting my school fees for Canada, MBBS in Canada, only for me to stand up and say, God did not call me to Canada. That's what I told my dad. He nearly fainted. NDA, they said I should just write the exam. If I pass it, he has a slot. I refuse. He nearly fainted. Why? Because I was sure God wanted me to pastor. Now, are you not excited I pastor you? But what if I said, okay, I wanted to just please everybody and become that? You will not have me today. That's what happens when you follow those paths and leave the call of God. There are many destinies tied to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you, I will not go there. I will send you there. God will send you there. There are many destinies tied to you. You can't afford to make a mistake. Don't joke with your faith. Satan is not taking it easy. You think as you are coming to church, he's excited. He's clapping for you. He's fighting. He's fighting. He's like a roaring lion looking for souls to what? Devour. Listen, every day Satan is fighting for your souls. If nobody has told you this in this manner, let me tell you, he's fighting very hard. The day I will tell Satan I'm tired, he will be the most happiest person. The moment I seem like I'm getting tired, Satan, that's why I tell leaders, you know, you can see that. A pastor friend, I was talking to him, he was saying, "Ah, pastor, I'm getting tired of this thing." I said, "Don't say that. Shut up." I said, "Don't say that. You want Satan to know you are tired? Don't say that. He will frustrate you the more. You see more frustration this season than before. He will make members to be misbehaving. You just said you are tired." I said, "Never accept defeat. Keep on behave like nothing is wrong." I said, "You want to fail in destiny?" He said, "No." I said, "Never say those kind of words. Go pray in the spirit." Hallelujah to Jesus. He wake up and say, I'm tired. It is the boldness to continue that will cause you to succeed. Never stop pushing. If you can't believe it, read the story of great men. If they did not continue, you will not know they are great today. They kept on pushing amidst all odds. Don't cry. Stop crying. Don't be crying. It's a shame that you are crying. You want to pray somebody. Stop it. Food is underrated. When I was done eating, I felt so good. I thought that food is underrated. I mean, I forgot for a moment all the problems in this world because of how sweet that food was tasting. Now, if you know that hunger was catching me, my brain was paining me, my stomach. I don't know. It's like there's a connection between brain paining you and stomach. There's a strong connection. As here, God felt the pain just went off and breeze was entering inside my head. As if the gate of my head opened. I said to my wife, now food is truly underrated. I won't joke with food, though. I don't joke with food. If you eat food, you will overcome some temptation. Just eat food. Some you fail because you are hungry. Eat, for the journey is far. Eat. Even God told Elijah to what? Eat food. Say, no, I'm spiritual. Eat food first. Some of you, Satan got you because you didn't even eat. There's fasting, there's a place for fasting. That your mood swing that makes Satan to get you is because you did not eat food. If you eat, you would have been strong to say, no, Satan. I know, as I said, this is the best part of the Sabbath. Pastor said, we should eat food. Give me food, brother. No problem. Eat food. See, Betty, eat food. Eat food. If we finish now, bite it to your God and take you. You'll be amazed what will happen. You'll feel okay. Are you listening to me? Some people, before they start praying, they just play a song. That they like, but they like song that make them cry. This wonderful song that this woman is late. God bless her soul. Eku eme, eku eme. Some, that's their song. Even if you slay me and life defeats me, I will never... Is that worship? Are you worshiping? You are glorifying your problems. They learned it in the book of Job. Go and see. Job was crying. He was not worshiping. You carry Job's words of frustration and you are singing worship with it. You don't, that's not a worship song to sing. Are you listening to me? Bless his name. Let your soul command. David said, command your soul to bless the Lord. Shout back the Lord. Bless his name. Don't be crying anyhow. If you are crying, it should be tears of praise, tears of joy. Are you listening to me? Not that anytime you want to start praying, Satan begins to remind you of, you think it's the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than you. You just want to start praying, you start thinking of all your sins. It's Satan. All your problems. If you think of sins and problems every time, it's Satan. You want to just start praying thus. You start making, so you want to enter the prayer with both with moody, in your moody state. That's not how to pray. You think these things are so basic, they are very powerful. Very powerful. If I want to pray, let me give you some expo. If I want to pray, I'll play worship song. You see me just moving around. I don't say a word. I will thank God for like 1 hour. I'm telling you the truth. There are days I do it. You see me thank God. Sometimes I will lay on the ground. I will give him all the praise in the world. Before I'm even done praising God, problems, those problems at the outer court, they've been solved. Then I'll do business. Libra hambakataya. Lega busakabaya. See, there's a way you feel the presence of God. If you really know God and you stay in his presence, it gets to a point in prayer that you know that praying for your needs is foolishness. You just feel like a fool when you say, God, give me money. You just feel like an idiot. Because at that point, you know that these things are not a problem. You just know. When you begin to say, God, my money is goofy, you just have this feeling like it's fulfilled already. You just begin to pray about some things. Some deeper things. Are you listening to me? Stop getting worried unnecessarily. Then the next thing, they say that you have not married. They say you have not married. You come to church, you are burning your face. Go and marry. Go to your husband. You come to church. HOD say, come to the front. Say, I'm okay here. Please, I don't want to move. Please, sir. Please. Just for today. Leave me here. Leave me here. HOD don't know what your mother have done to you, sir. You will not understand. Because we have done this. We never understand. All those funny people, they look at their HODs and say, sir, you don't understand. Sir, you don't understand. Shebi is a mumu that is your HOD. You understand. Satan is dealing with you. You understand it. Somebody came to my office and said, sir, you don't understand. I said, get out then. You since you understand. Why are you in the office? What kind of talk is that? You don't understand, sir. Why would I not understand? That they are dealing with you and you are crying. I will not understand. Do you know the kind of dealings we have seen? Not from the Holy Spirit. I've seen all forms of dealings in this world. they will not understand. Me that have drunk well water for months, I will not understand. What is suffering you? So I have not eaten for 2 days. One is you have not eaten for 2 days. That's why you are crying. You will not be shocked. You see, the pastor removed his Lent last 10 kg. They take and go and eat. You have solved somebody's problem like that. You think you have problem? You have not eaten for 2 days. Then they give you 10 kg. Say, hey, Jesus came in for me. You now see testimony. I was looking for 10 kg. Ah, then they gave me 20 kg. Holy Spirit came for me. Glory to God. Pastor will just be looking and say, aye. They are them, so. Where Paul came and gave his testimony, I have learned to abound in season of plenty and small. I don't bother God for some irrelevant things. If there's food, I eat. If there's no food, I saw Gary. We move. We say, you don't understand. A point came, he was teaching some of his leaders. He said, having what to eat and drink, just move. Move. Let's go and be preaching. The disciples came to Jesus and said, give us money. You are sending us for ministry. We have to rent house and build church and the rest. Jesus said, move. Move. What I have said is enough. Move. You know, I hear some pastors saying, no, why? You have to give them. You will move. Me? You will move. Go to just. Sir, okay, we what? Go. Jesus said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? When they came back, heard the emphasis. They were like demon. Satan bowed. He fell down like lightning from heaven. Satan fell down. You know what that means? They were laying hands. Demons were checking out. Miracles were happening. Then money will not come. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. That's why when they came back, they said, did you lack? Oh, how can I say demon leave and your the honorarium will follow? Even Jesus said, when you give a cup of water to a prophet, you receive the prophet's word. It's not every time we say we will not collect. It is written that we should collect. Don't you want the word? You don't want the prophet's word? Some people don't want to do this. Say, Pastor, I don't mind though. Hallelujah to Jesus. They lack nothing. Are you hearing me? Don't allow those external things. They say, see your mate in Abuja, see what they are doing. You are here in the name of following Jesus. She has 2 babies now, 1 baby boy, 1 baby. They don't snap, they don't dress to match and snap on the bed. You are watching, say, ah, now my cosmate be that too. Now my cosmate be that. Then you now go back home, God. God, please, if you are God, you can't disgrace me like this. See, my friends. You don't even know that the marriage is going well. You don't know that they are beating her. You don't know that they are cheating on her. You just want to be married. You don't want peace of mind. Not knowing that God is preparing something better for you. So I'm saying, I must marry my tribal man. Your tribal man who can still cheat on you. There are many Igbos that marry Igbos that are regretting that they married Igbos. It may have been a Calabar man that would have been faithful to you. I know you don't believe this truth now. Probably that Calabama would have been better for you. It's the truth. You know, imagine I'm Calabar. Somebody looks at me and says, God forbid to marry Calabar person. I will not marry this pastor. I'll feel bad. Because I know that Calabar blood, the character they say about Calabar men, I know it's not in me. Are you listening? I'm not insulting Calabar men. Who, that wrong side, that's what I'm trying to talk about. Because these days, it's not hard to catch pastors and deal with them on the media. Are you listening to me? One time I was talking to some ladies, they said, Pastor, what tribe are you? As I come, I said, cheer Jesus, I feel disappointed. I said, I said, why are you disappointed? He said, Pastor, we wish you were not this tribe. Oh no. I said, what are your plans? They started laughing. Meaning they've shared pastor already. They've determined who will have pastor. And now when pastor said this tribe, they were very disappointed. So that truly means that if they were supposed to marry me, now these are, I'll lose a wife. Because of my tribe. I was talking to the Miriam's language people one time. Igede people. That they will not marry thief in their life. In fact, Miriam's one, she will marry one particular local government in even the Igede. Igede people that are like 159 in this world. I just used to wonder, what kind of mind is that? Sorry, 170. you are now saying you have choice. Satan is a bastard. Do you know how many Igede girls are married by now? And the way God did it, thief men like Igede women. Igede girls like thief men. But now, Satan put an embargo. Do you know how many thief men Miriam would have liked? But because of the embargo, as the person is coming close, they don't come close. You get why? Don't come close to me, please. I don't want to be familiar with you. Please. For people that are just 170. So you see, you have to be very... Satan. You all know what I'm talking about. It's not two local government they have. Now, that doesn't mean I'm looking down on them because they will come. Let them not come against me. But why? And the people that created this law, they are dead. It's you now that have not married. They are dead. They married and died, yes. I declare deliverance from the Igede people in the name of Jesus. Because I know many of you like those ladies, isn't it? I hope you are waking up this wonderful evening. See a thief brother come. You just need to bring one person that believes in you and we'll just join the wedding. All the village people must not come. See, if you marry Igede people, one person must die. One person, who told you? Nothing dies here. Nothing dies here. Let's bet all the children will become pastors here. Nothing will happen to the children. The day the baby is coming out, we are mounting up as gatekeepers. That baby will come out untouched. Lay hands on the child and say, "Ah, yabo kataya, broken a yoke." Young ladies, are you hearing? I'm saying this because I've lost many ladies' name of they say make I marry. Then you finish now, you are a major housewife. The call of God on your life, dead. Everything dead. You are married. You succeeded. What was your success? You married. All the books in your life you'd have written, gone. All the songs you would have sung for the Lord, gone. What did you replace with them? You better children, not destiny. Don't limit yourself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't limit. And let me say this last thing. Sometimes the men that will marry you, they will not fall from the skies. They are your neighbors. The reason why there's so much doubt because you are calculating their life. When Miracle go finish school, can't do this thing. I haven't finished the same time with Miracle. When he go call Hammer, then come see my people. But me, I want marry next year. Miracle never reach. What if Miracle gets a job in 2 months that gives him 1 million naira monthly? What if is it Miracle that is your name? Benjamin gets a job that gives him 800,000 and a million in two. You know, 2 days you getting a job, you may not know. You may not know. Like my sister that I gave a testimony about. You may not know. Before you know, you've been given a job. They give you a job. Now you're collecting 1 million. The girl that said she cannot marry her classmate. It's not classmate she can't marry you. She's calculating when her classmate will go for NYC and have money and blah, 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 blah. She doesn't know that the sisters at the front have learned the hard way. If you meet the sister at the front that have not married, they will advise you, if you see classmate with girl sense, marry. Are you listening to me? Marry. See the way Sarah is looking at me, God. Sarah, I'm sorry. See if she wants to beat me. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope you are catching what I'm trying to explain. They are around you. Young men, are you not ready? Are you not ready? Look at how you are sounding. Are you not ready? Uh-uh. You are sound. No wonder. Maybe you are the problem of this church. When you see a man who has vision, push, follow that man. Are you listening to me? What is money? Money will come. It must come. Let me say this final thing. Listen, I'm not ashamed to be your pastor. So you may not be able to give me one million right now. But I don't have a problem with that. I don't even have one single problem. Are you together what I'm trying to say? Because I know finally, 1 billion will not be a problem. Grow. Are you listening to me? Grow. Grow with yourselves. Money should be the least factor that will make you say, I want to marry somebody. The least. Which boy is here look broke that I'm working on? I often make it a point of duty. You say you not marry a man in this church, we'll prove a point to you personally. As long as Jesus lives. When that guy finished hammering, I will tell him to pass your junction. Where you are working with, no matter whether you are with your Karina, he will pass. And he must ask you for road. You just will plan it, will be by the side. You will, do you know that place in this? Pastor Phil, is that not you? Yeah. Is this you? Oh, is this what has happened to you? Well, dear Jesus Christ. Now, wow, I thought you left me for something very reasonable. So it's Corolla you left me for. Would you like to have a feel of GLK? No, don't wind the window down. Wind it up. Wind it up. We are not managing fuel here. Please. Should be like your car feels like heaven. He said, that's what you'd have gotten if you were patient. I'm not prophesying though. You have to be careful. I told a lady this many years ago. And let me say something. All of you that was, God is not an author of confusion. You see this thing of how did you meet your husband? I was praying. Then God started drawing my husband. Long hair, long nose. Then I drew him down. I snapped him in my heart. Sir, you will not believe it. Tell me, I'll believe it. Sir, you will not believe what I'm about to say. Tell me, my daughter. Sir, when I stepped out the next day and just walked by the left, just as I heard God in the secret place, he declared on the outside, sir, God, I saw my husband, sir, save me, say hallelujah. The way he described it, stupidity. So God will just sit down, look at you and say, oh yeah, let's start creating something. God is not that serious. I just entered car. As I was going, I now turned by the left. As I turned by the left, God now said, could that be my husband? I said, maybe he is. Oh. Maybe he's. God is not an author of confusion. I've seen that. I was pastoring a lady. She told me this years ago. Say she slept, she dreamt of her husband, and she just woke up the next day. The man just came, boom! I say, yes, so I say, it's a lie. When she wanted to marry, I said, this glory, this singing glory on your inside. Is this how it will end? She said, no, sir, I'll be singing. I'll be attending Christ's embassy. You know, you believe in Pastor Chris. I said, okay. My husband is Anglican, but he said, no, he will support my call. I said, wow. They came and gave me wine. I looked at everything. I said, we've lost this girl, Michael. Gabriel, you all agree that this is the end. We just wrote the end. I tell you that was the end. If they say sing, I know the gin is not there itself again. Well, why to remember? Destiny, short. You know when the man allow you go outside? Have you finished eating that you want to go outside and sing and fulfill destiny? You have to be careful with the choices you make. Are you listening to me? Firstly, marriage is not an achievement. But I'm not saying you should not marry. Are you listening to me? Well, it's not. I'll be carrying it on your head like an achievement. Then Satan will use that and finish you. We're talking about somebody in the leadership 2 days ago. They said the person had found love. And immediately they just find love. They start avoiding people that are pushed, that have been pushing them towards destiny. You have found love. I think it was Pastor Joe we're talking about. Found love, then you don't want to talk to your HOD again. Because what has happened? You are on fire. You are preaching everywhere. Then a man of God will just sit down somewhere and not look at you and say, ministry material. You don't know the person from anywhere. You don't know the work of his work with God. Blah, blah. As they just call you mama, it has packed your head. Listen, don't be preparing yourself for mama office. You are a Christian. Some of you, they always start calling you mama. You start working like mama. Mama, bless you. Shut up. Grow as a Christian. Which one is mama? And I stand again. Don't call anybody here mama. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
You are killing some people when you are calling them those names. Mama. Papa. As long as a lady can pray in tongue, mama. Them too, do it to register in their head. I have a mamali calling. Are you people listening to me? As long as a brother is fervent, he has a calling. There's a calling, there's a mantle. I'm seeing an ancient mantle. That's us, how we lost good engineers and good doctors in the name of mantles. You can, your mantle can be hospital. Are you listening to me? Can be education. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you been blessed tonight? So learn to listen. You can't come to me as your pastor and you are entering a wrong relationship and I will not smell it. You are coming to me. There are some people I smell bad behavior. When they just come to me, I perceive it. A young man entered my office. I said, you have started kissing that girl. He said, no, sir. I said, you have started kissing. He went and closed the door. He said, sir, just small, small. I said, see. I smell it. As your pastor, God will reveal, he will tone out your Asiri. If you know what that means, you answer. Because anybody that conciliates a sin, it will kill him. So if God loves you, he will open you like this, like a book. I'll be seeing everything. There are people that are shocked when I tell them their problem. And I'm asking, why are you shocked? One time a lady was going to be married by 30 something years. She was not even up to 20. 30 something years. It was the MD of our church in the house when she came to school. And the person's name was Simon. I wanted to call the name so that it would shock her. But I didn't know that it was because it was Simon. That's why I was not hearing. Imagine God is telling me Simon is the name. Simon, will I be able to mention Simon? And I asked her, there's somebody older. She just put her hand on her head. I see a big ring that does not fit you. She put her hand on her head. I said, tell me the person's name. She said, Simon. I said, oh, no wonder I could not. That's how God delivered her. It happens. Many people have entered my house. I smelled relationship. They broke it. Oche had a mama. Didn't you? He told me that was his mama. They were planning ministry. Mama. I said, let's remove mama first so that we'll see root. No, we can joke about this thing because they are the past. They are in the past. Who has not broken up? Is it courage? Abi? Who? We smell it. He was just cleaning my house. I said, come. What is happening? He said, no, sir, she's mama. The Lord, I said, mama. Okay, we want to remove mama so that we can fulfill destiny for now. He said, sir, but I told her, God, I said, he said, sir, God said, I did not even hear that one two times. God said, waiting. God said, gini. We were there. Break up. He started crying. They said, all of them used to cry. But look at them. When I was a child, I behaved. Now that I have grown, I live what childish things. Some of you remember your love now. You did and co, did everything. See you today. You have grown. I heard a rumor that they said, GCMI, if you have any serious relationship, don't come. It will break if you just arrive. If it's right one, it will remain. If it's the wrong one, it will go away. Are you listening to me? Learn to listen. Instruction is the place I'm hitting at this last part of the service. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. Some will leave church for like 3 months. You don't know what made them to leave church. They've gone to enter a relationship. They broke their heart. That's why they've come back. They are pretending like nothing happened. They've broken their heart. Only God knows. They've gone and see that what we are saying is true. The person told them, I have nothing to do with you again, this word. Say, if everybody disgraces me, I know where I'm always accepted. I'm accepted in my church. They rush back. Codedly, they did not tell anybody. They did not make noise. They just came and sat back. Learn to listen. And truly will not condemn you. I have accepted you. Say amen. Hallelujah. Learn to listen. When we give instruction, we are not claiming authority over you. I am not a God. But it's necessary sometimes. We will break your heart sometimes. That's part of the process. We will break it very well. You got it off. Maybe Benjamin called. Sir, I swear I saw her. Her hair was blowing. And my God, I saw her. I said, Benjamin, you saw her? Yes, I saw her. Sir, you will not enter. You did not see anything. Say, sir, I saw. I said, you did not see. So why will you just sit in the office and just say, I did not see? Me, that I was in the secret place. I saw now. Say, go home. Come up from my office. And if I hear that you toast that girl, your own has finished. Warning at the end. Now call the lady and say, this season, people will be, Satan will send relationship. Accept. Are you listening? Don't be foolish. They break your heart. Be okay. It's part of the process. Some people that we broke their heart, now they found a lady they want to die with love. If we allow them that time now, they would have left that lady and be toasting this one and they are married to. You see? They would not have this one as side chick. Because they would have married and not see their real love in the marriage. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. That when you just finish married and open door the next day, hey! Sue are supposed to marry here. Oh, why did I marry so fast? Are you understanding me? The Lord will never put you in that situation in the name of Jesus. If you learn to listen. But Simon, how comes you are saying that only you can be able to guard people? It's God's grace. I don't know how it works, but it works. Are you listening to me? Are you not amazed sometimes I call some of you to my office and I know your problem? You hid it from everybody? There's a day I was preaching, I called a lady not too long. I said, meet me in my office. When we're done, I just said, you don't look like everything is okay. She said, no, sir, everything's okay. When we started digging, we dig to the whole problem. I said, just, and she was so shocked. How did I look at you on your face and tell you have a problem somewhere? How did I know it? I don't know how I knew it too. I just knew that I just knew it. It works like that, like magic. And I must not know it before you tell me. Sometimes you can come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes some people may be hearing the word of God and be struggling at the same time. If you don't reveal that problem, it can't be solved. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Don't claim one kind of image before your pastor. You are wasting your time. Say, our pastor thought, I'm a cell leader. Our pastor will be disappointed if he hears that I'm addicted to pornography. You will die in the sea. You come and open yourself up. Are you listening to me? And we see how the problem is and disciple you properly and remove that embargo from your life. Else you'll be like that, a hypocrite for many years. And you are not growing, you are stunted. Are you learning something tonight? Finally, all of you that have boys and girls, you are talking to unnecessarily. You can't grow that way. You can't grow. Are you listening to me? You can't grow. You are just talking. What are you talking? Magnitude, no direction. Just talk. Hello, what did you eat today? How was the day? Explain. Can we do video call? Can we switch? Let me see your fine face. All those kind of things. As I'm talking, if you like, people should be throwing your face. No problem. Throw your face. They do me no face. No problem. I know what I'm saying. The day to hook in your throat is me you still come to. And I reminded you that I said it. Be careful. You see, as you look so gentle like this, there's a way you talk to a lady, you don't know that your heart have gone to the bedroom. It's the truth. You see, you just now come to the office and be crying. But if you follow these principles, you will never be in that situation. Say, Pastor, no, I'm too consecrated for bedroom. Oh my God. I don't know how to start that explanation. There is nobody seated there under the sound of my voice that does not have the ability to give birth to children. If you don't have, go and pray, you have a problem. Everybody here under the sound of my voice, you have all it takes to give birth to children. Yes or no? You are not answering me, yes or no? And I say, if you don't have, go and meet a doctor. You need help. What I'm trying to say is that finally, all of you here will have children. Is it miracle children you have? As humble as you see this Benjamin now, you will have 3 children or 4 children one day. Will the wife conceive of the Holy Spirit? You know what I'm trying to say? Everybody has that thing in them. The ability to give birth to children. If the potential is there, be careful. You can't be the sister every time you are talking. You will not be rubbing your head and say, I'm bought with a price. Blah, 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 blah. Call my sister. Blah, 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 blah. No. And listen, as a brother, as you are growing up, there are some things, if it's not necessary, avoid it. If you know you are still growing and God is helping you, don't give full hug. Even if they are coming, give a handshake. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Give a handshake and bone your face. There's nothing there. All my days in BSU, who did I hug here for? Stand up and disgrace me. It's not because I was not grown or before he starts suspecting me, but handshake straight. That's if we won't give handshake. Yes, welcome sister. So what's the problem? You know, I had to repent not so long. One time, my wife's people said, why is it that your husband doesn't hug people? That's when I said, okay, no, let me start hugging healers. Because all of them, I grew with it. I was not scared. I just grew with the mentality. Hey, Elo, welcome. And I found out that it's not nice. They were feeling bad. So they reported me to my wife. My wife said, but Simon, you know what to happen? And they're all complaining. So I hug. And I can't remember when last I hugged anybody outside my wife. So even my wife, before I started hugging. The first time she wanted to hug me, I said, your spiritual father. You want to hug your spiritual father. Bless you. My wife suffered in my hand. Sometimes she comes dressed, but I say, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Kneel down for impartation. Just to neutralize the beauty. The beauty is too much, so I want to pour anointing for it to be spiritual. Now, kneel down. Take! Fall! Are you listening to me? Avoid unnecessary things. The worst is that you visit a lady alone. You have so much grace. You know that picture on Facebook? Oil is pouring on your head. You enter, sat down, they fry you egg and indomie. Mumu? The greatest mumu that has hit earth. Oil on your head, oil on your mouth, oil in your stomach. Say you are matured. We are all matured in Christ, not lacking anything. Don't try that. Then when you're done, you say it's the work of the devil. Now bow your heads. And thank the Lord. So in case you didn't get it, the factors that affect growth, that's the theme for today. Lord, we give you praise, we worship you. Thank you for the word. All we've heard is a light and a lamp for our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The area you think this word applies to you, pray, receive it, thank the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheridan Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.